With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
I went to Covenant College and I walked in and I found out that your head could actually be used for something besides a baseball cap and a golf visor. It was an amazing thing, the challenge that I have. The first thing when I was in chapel and we sang All for Jesus, that grabbed my heart and my mind. And then when I went to the classrooms and I found out the Word of God frames, fills, and leads us into every discipline of life.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry brings us part one of the message, Renewing Your Mind. Parents want their children to grow physically strong and healthy, to develop their minds and get a solid education, to get on the path to a good career, where they find success and personal fulfillment, and to find a wonderful spouse and raise a happy, healthy family. But we can see all these things come to fruition and still miss what is truly essential for our children. The ultimate goal for Christian parents is to guide their children into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and develop a life of growing intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. Therefore, an emphasis on Christian education is critical. For every parent is ultimately responsible to educate their children according to a biblical Christian world and life view. If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, Renewing Your Mind.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I confess my favorite book in the Bible. For me, the Bible is like a range of mountain peaks and Himalaya. And Mount Everest for me is the book of Romans. I love it dearly. And this is one of my favorite texts in the book of Romans. So if you'll look with me in Romans 12 verses 1 through 2 and just a couple of thoughts. This is the Word of God. It's the truth. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and acceptable, and perfect. First of all, I was very excited about the opportunity to do this and the invitation to do it, to speak at the convocation this year. And I got so excited, I came up with four different talks. That's the bad news for you. I came up with four, and I was going to try to do all four and see if I could string them together. Here's the good news for you is I jettisoned three of them. And so I'm down to one. And that's the one I want to talk to you about. Now, I'm excited about this for a number of reasons. I am grateful for the Lord as a pastor, for all the educators that God has allowed me to pastor at Briarwood, some that are serving the Lord almost like missionaries in the public school system, as counselors, coaches, administrators, and teachers. I have the great privilege to talk with them from time to time as they face unbelievable challenges and their attempt to be faithful to the Lord, private schools, homeschools, and co-ops. And then, of course, I am particularly grateful for Briarwood Christian School. It's just an extraordinary ministry. God has allowed us at Briarwood to, we have some rather creative people about ministry, and I'm just trying to pedal fast to stay up with them. So there's about 121 ministries, but there are two that stand out to me very significantly in very profound ways. And one of them is our World Missions Ministry. And the other, of course, is this ministry of Briarwood Christian School. In terms of its potentiality and its impact, So what about this matter of Christian education? That's the other reason I was so excited to talk to you about this. I thank the Lord for each one of you, that particularly those of you that are in the classroom doing the teaching. It is an extraordinary place where you find yourself. Now, I got to give you just a little bit of background, if you don't mind, of my encounter with Christian education. It started before I became a Christian. My father was in minor league baseball, and in minor league baseball, there's a whole lot of month at the end of the money. And so we stayed on the move quite a bit. So in 12 years of education, I went to 11 different schools. Now, that may explain part of my problems in life and the weirdness associated with my life, but 11 different schools in 12 years. I'm going to give you a snapshot of one of those moments. It was the ninth grade in my life. My father came home. He was in the Southern League at the time, and he came home from he had a couple of days, and he was home. And as usual, when he got home, unfortunately, at that time of my life, I had disembarked from where the Lord had led me through my parents. I tell people I became a Christian out of a drug problem. My dad and mom drug me to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and Wednesday night as well. And I began to rebel against it and went in another direction. My father, being out of town so much in baseball, that kind of facilitated my rebellion. But my mother knew how to keep a list, and she kept a list. And when Daddy got home, he had evened up the list with me. Now, my daddy didn't believe in time out, so this was a painful experience usually when my dad got home at that time. So this particular one, I'll never forget this. Now, I don't necessarily recommend this as parenting. I'm just telling you what happened. But he got home, and he had the list in front of me, and I could see he was exasperated. And he said, "Son, this is a trajectory that's just not going to continue. This is going to cease." He said, "I don't know what it's going to take for it to cease, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do if it doesn't cease." He said, "You are about to kill your mother, and I loved her before I met you, so I can get rid of you and keep her." And that was it. I mean, it was kind of, I could just see the bazooka in his back pocket about to come out and shoot me in the face. I was pretty sure that was about to happen next. And then he said to me how he was going to do it. He said, "Up in Concord, North Carolina, there's a place called the Jackson Reformatory School, and I've called them. They have an opening, and you're next there, unless there's some changes." Now, folks, I did not become a Christian. But there was some serious behavior modification that went on in my life after that, just simply because of what that reputation of that school was. But it wasn't very profound, and it wasn't very immediate. So my mother, who could not stand the thought of me being sent there, talked him into plan two. Plan B was, there's a new Christian school in Charlotte. Let's send him there. And that was my view of Christian education and Christian schools. It was a reformatory. Now, I tell you, I thought of that because obviously that's why I was sent there. And secondly, when I got there, almost everybody in my class was pretty much in the same boat I was. And then my view of Christian education was this. Well, you got some rules. You're going to behave. If you don't behave, you'll be expelled. And then I'm on my way to Jackson Reformatory School. And by the way, we've got a Bible class. And that's about all I thought of Christian education. You learned history, spelling, reading, literature, pretty much like everybody else did. Pretty much same textbooks. And almost plug and unplug with what I would have gotten in the public school. But by the way, there were some rules, and there was going to be a Bible class. So it was education plus the Bible plus behave yourself. And that was pretty much my view of Christian education. God's great kindness, I became a believer. God brought me to the end of myself and the bottom of the barrel, and that's all I'll tell you. And he converted me when I was 21 years old. And I had performed the most amazing educational feat of my life as before I was converted, I flunked out of East Carolina University. Now, that is an achievement because pretty much if you can fog a mirror, you can graduate from East Carolina University. And so I flunked out of East Carolina University, and then they sent me. I was on my way to the Marine Corps, and in the meantime, I met Cindy, and she was a believer, so I had to go to church and in order to date her. And then the Lord, it's another whole story of how I became a believer at that time. I finished putting her through school because she consented to marry me. After I became a believer, we went through school, getting her through school because I'd promised that to her parents. And I went back to East Carolina and I majored in history and criminology and on my way, and God called me into the ministry. That was another interesting dynamic because, you know, if you're young, enthusiastic, and you become a Christian in a church of 120 people, a Presbyterian church, well, you know what's next, don't you? You're the youth director. I thought Malachi was an Italian prophet named Malachi, and I'm the youth director, and these catechized kids are there knowing the Bible and the Apostles' Creed and the shorter catechism, and I was wondering, why did they have combines in the Bible? And then my wife explained, oh, those are concubines, honey. Let me try to explain to you what those are. So I went back to East Carolina University. God called me into the ministry, and I knew I wasn't going to get trained for the ministry at East Carolina. I talked to a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Robert Rayburn, and he challenged me to go, and he said, I said, could I just go on the seminary? And he said, why don't you go to Covenant College, take one semester, and if you don't learn anything, I'll bring you on up to seminary. He was such a wise man. I went to Covenant College, and I walked in, and I found out that your head could actually be used for something besides a baseball cap and a golf visor. It was an amazing thing, the challenge that I have. The first thing when I was in chapel, and we sang All for Jesus, that grabbed my heart and my mind. And then when I went to the classrooms and I found out the Word of God frames, fills, and leads us into every discipline of life. Now, of course, the real reason I got excited about Covenant College is Tom Farr was there at the same time. I know he looks a lot older than me, but he was there at the same time. And I'm sure he would tell you the same thing. At least I will tell you, I had no idea this was Christian education. That the Word of God gives you a world and life view whereby every discipline of life can be understood to the glory of God. And that so overwhelmed me and so filled me that my life was transformed. It was almost like getting saved all over again for me. And that's what I want to just take just a couple of minutes to talk to you about. What is that kind of Christian education look like? What kind of a Christian school does that Christian education? Well, I'll tell you. It certainly has to do with facilities. It certainly has to do with leadership. It certainly has to do with curriculum choices, but I know where it really has to do. It's the teachers that brought it home to me. I can still remember Dr. Barker and Dr. Cravendam. I can still remember Dr. Lothers. I mean, I finally actually had a class in biology that I enjoyed when it was taught to the glory of God, framed with the Word of God. It was overwhelmingly insightful for me. But teachers and administrators and coaches and all of you, I think, first of all, I just want to make a couple of comments here. The responsibility of Christian education for these children does not fall directly to us. It falls to their parents. And we do not embrace the notion of in loco parentis. Now, I know there are some abandoned children that we have to step in. But we do not subvert or supersede parents. We're an extension of them. Many of them are making, in the case of private schools and Briarwood Christian School and others, they make significant sacrifices for us not to take their place. And in fact, we should never try to take their place because we need them to be in their place with their kids. But they do have us to extend their ministry because they have said, you have something that my kids need, and I want you to deliver it to them. I want you to deliver it to them in a way that is faithful and by God's grace is fruitful. But we're not taking their place. You know, a lot of people say, well, Harry, when you talk about Christian, are you telling me that everybody has to go to Briarwood Christian School if you believe that Christian education is mandatory? Which I do. I believe that Christian education is mandatory. I believe every parent is responsible to educate their children, and they're called to educate their children Christianly. Now, the Bible does not mandate the delivery system. So that's between you and the Lord, the delivery system that you choose to use. And you need to prayerfully consider the delivery system. I am extremely grateful. If somebody came to me aside and said, what do you think is the best delivery system? Well, I'll tell you right now what I think it is. It's Briarwood Christian School. But I'm going to leave that up to you. And I want you to know something. As your pastor, whatever you choose, I'm going to come alongside you to help make it work. I'm going to be there with you and alongside of you. But I will tell you this. I have the great privilege to pastor a church that has a responsibility to make investments and oversight in something called Briarwood Christian School, and I think it is unequaled in what it does and its potential for what it can do. And the biggest reason are the teachers. That's the biggest reason. Not the only reason, but it's the biggest reason. Teachers who understand what Christian education is, teachers who engage in Christian education as Christian educators. What does that look like? What does it look like when it is put into place? And how is it implemented? Teachers, I tell you, and it's the same thing I say to myself, I'm saying to you now. I mean, what we do, I as a pastor, you as a teacher, you as leaders in your school, here's the fact. Leadership works and teaching works. Well, Harry, what if it's bad teaching? That works too. When all said and done, the pupils are going to become like their teachers. Good teaching, good result. Bad teaching, bad results. Good leadership, good results. Bad leadership, bad results. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the pit. Still works. The question is not, is our teaching doing something? The question is, what is it doing? Teaching works. So what does it mean to teach Christianly? What does it mean for us to reclaim something that's absolutely lost? And I agree with Harry Blaymeyers on this, the Christian mind. If you want to see the Christian mind lost, just watch how people have tried to navigate the issues and the events of the last week. Just watch how it is navigated politically, economically. Watch how it is navigated culturally. Watch how the educators deal with it. You see no sense of the Christian mind any longer, either by God's redeeming grace or God's common grace. It is extremely important that our kids get the tools to be able to put on the glasses that are framed by the Word of God when events happen so they read it right. And they understand it rightly, and they understand what the antidote is, and they understand what the solution is. What would happen if we begin to think biblically and no longer thought in terms of a Darwinian imposed race paradigm of 3, 5, or 7 races, but begin to think with a biblical paradigm of multiple ethnicities, but one race, a human race, where all are created in the image of God? And what if we understood the fall, that everyone in that race is born with a sinful heart? And in fact, as much as I abhor the isms of racism and nationalism and ethnicism, as much as I abhor it, it does not amaze me that it's there. It burdens me that it's there. It hurts me that it's there. But it doesn't amaze me that it's there. What amazes me is that everybody isn't doing it. Because I understand the fall. We're born dead in our sins, and the only reason we are not absolutely depraved is because of God's common grace that's restraining our depravity. And then I get the chance to tell that human race there's another race where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, rich or poor, bond or free. And that's the second Adam's race. Purchased by His blood and filled with His Spirit. I've got good news for you. And then what if a the people of God began to manifest that with burnished families, relationships, with their witness of salt and light, word and deed in a community. That's the way we are training children, to begin to think their way through these issues. So it is thrilling to be an educator. That God's put us in this position for the renewing of the mind. But it's also chilling. That's why the Bible says, let not many of you become teachers, my brothers. What you're doing is having an effect. So, Lord, help us do it right. And what would it look like to do it right? And that's why I love Christian education, because we are giving, we have Christianity, the glorious truth, not of a man-made religion about a relationship with God, but a God-given religion that where God establishes the relationship with man by His grace and for His glory. That we have a Christianity is something that gives you the information with a right view of God, a right view of those who are made in the image of God, a right view of why we who are made in the image of God are wrong with God, and a right view of how man can be right with God and God right within him. So let me walk that through again. We have delivered to us the truth of God's word that tells us a right view of God, and that's where education starts. It doesn't start with us. It starts with who is God. A right view of God, and then we who are made in the image of God, a right view of us made in the image of God, and why are we not right with God, and why is everything wrong with us, so that we can not only look at creation, but we can look at the fall. And then how can that which is wrong with God get right with God and God get right within them? And that's good news. That's the gospel. So there's not only creation and fall in our world and life view, there's redemption. And then there's God's providence that shows His common grace in restraining sin, His redeeming grace, His sustaining grace, so that we live and move and have our being in Him. And then there's consummation. I've been through way too many funerals recently. At least, Lord, I said that to the Lord. And the Lord says, you're going through as many as I'm going to send you through, and I'll be with you. But I'll never forget getting a piece of paper from when I was in Charlotte as a pastor from this lady. And she said, Pastor, read this, because this is what I want you to do for me. And I said, I read it, and it talked about a lady who brought her preacher in and said to him, Preacher, Would you please, when I'm about to die, when I die, I want you to have my funeral. I want you to do two things for me. One is I want you in my right hand, my left hand, I want you to put my Bible in the casket. And in the right hand, I want you to put a fork. And then keep the casket open. He said, ma'am, I don't keep the casket open. She said, you're going to keep mine open. Keep it open. Make sure everybody walks by. And then when they go sit down, you tell them that Bible's in my left hand because it was through the Word of God I came to know the God of the Word. And he said, okay, I kind of thought that was coming, but what about the fork? She said, Pastor, you've been to all of our homes. You've enjoyed that meal. And don't you love that last moment when the hostess comes by, picks up the plate, and then tells you, save your fork. You know, when she says, save your fork, the best is yet to come. That's what I want you to tell them. Don't weep for me. The best is yet to come. Or the way Moody said it. When y'all read my obituary, it'll say I'm dead. Don't believe a word of it. On the day you read that, I'll never be more alive. Consummation, creation, fall, redemption, providence, consummation, giving the information from where? The Word of God. The Christian world and life view isn't framed by intuition. It is framed by revelation, which is why we need teachers filled with the Spirit for illumination. We don't think up Christianity. If I hear, he's off the television now, so I don't have to listen to him, which I didn't do much anyway. If I heard Bill O'Reilly say one more time, Christianity is a philosophy. Christianity is not a philosophy. This isn't a word of men about God. This is God's word revealed to man. And the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is, do you believe it or not? And then you and I get the opportunity to teach it, because you can't know him until you know from him. And you can't know what it means to be right with him until you hear from him in his word. So we are people of the book, and Christian education begins with divine revelation, and then it takes place through illumination, which is the Spirit of God working through men and women just like you.
The ultimate goal for Christian parents is to guide their children into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. An emphasis on Christian education is critical, for every parent is ultimately responsible to educate their children according to a biblical Christian world and life view. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Renewing Your Mind, or simply ask for message number 13925. Again, that's message number 13925. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD along with shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is raising a family. One of the biggest challenges in the Christian life is raising a family. Pastor Reeder's series, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. This 12 sermon series album, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, is available for just $36. It's easy to order. Go online to briarwood.org/7essentials. That's briarwood.org/7essentials. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will encourage your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no charge. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.